Hi, Jason. The Bears have an old friend coming to town, and that friend's defense isn't very good. We'll talk about whether that matters coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears have the Cowboys coming to town. They just gave up 37 points to Russell Wilson. And the Giants, they are run by Matt Eberflus, who is the head coach here. This seems like a good spot for Caleb Williams, but the way the season's gone so far, I don't think you could count on anything like that. What do you make of what they're looking at?
Well, the Bears are in a bad situation right now. I mean, they're really, the pressure is high on Ben Johnson, on the defense, on Ryan Poles, on Caleb Williams. To be 0-2 and be the type of 0-2 they are, two losses in the division, defense falling apart at the end against Minnesota, falling apart across the board against Detroit, and Caleb not really impressing in either game. I mean, if you want to call his game in Detroit a good game, you're really kind of tilting it and kind of forcing it into fit your argument. He had 136 yards passing, and the game was over. So before garbage time, we're at 136 yards. That's not a difference maker at quarterback. So the necessity for him to play well and for the team to play well is at an all-time high. And I think the expectation should be, too, because Dallas is a little bit of a tough team to figure out for me off just two games, because they looked a lot better than I thought they would in the opener against Philly. And then they lost. They won their second game against the Giants, 40-37. Do I have that right? I mean, 37 points to a Giants team that's going to probably not come close to that number the rest of the year, I wouldn't think, unless they're playing the Saints or the Browns. It is fair and it right to have this high expectation, specifically of Caleb Williams. What do you think the spy versus spy is between Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and Matt Eberflus?
I think Matt Eberflus knows what works against Caleb.
We just did this last week, right?
Right.
With Ben Johnson and the Lions.
I think Eberflus knows what works against Caleb, but I don't think that that's a trade secret necessarily, because I think a lot of stuff works against Caleb Williams at this point. You know, Ben Johnson made the point on Wednesday that, well, we've got guys who know Eberflus too. Okay. Fair enough. Eberflus has also got, what, 8 years of defensive coordinator tape that you can watch of him. So I don't know that it's a tremendous advantage for the Cowboys. I think that this is one of those games, Jason, not to steer it away from Caleb, because that's not what I want to do, but I think the run game is going to be super important to the Bears to keep Caleb in manageable situations, but also to lean on running back in DeAndre Swift, who has had maybe not good games, but really good quarters, I think, in the first two games.
DeAndre Swift is such an interesting story for the Bears and Ben Johnson, and he seems to be doing more of what is needed, running north-south. He would tell you he's doing the same thing he's always done, because he doesn't, for some reason, want to acknowledge that. But it looks better. It looks more north-south. And the coaches are telling you, yeah, this is what we've been coaching him to do, and we're seeing it. But whatever. Okay. I think that with both defenses struggling, this sets itself up to be a really high-scoring game. And I like Dallas's chances better with the personnel that they have. I think they have top-notch offensive weapons at receiver. And Dak Prescott has – Ben Johnson was saying Wednesday that Dak Prescott looks like he's playing better than or as well as anyone in the league. That's not really what the numbers say. So I'm curious, although his completion percentage is pretty high, I'm curious, you know, why Ben Johnson thinks that, if he really does think that. But nonetheless, I think he will look sharp. I mean, the last two quarterbacks that played the Bears won Conference Player of the Week. So that sets up well for whoever's next, which is Dak Prescott.
One of the things Ben said that tried to explain that, I guess, was that he loved his cadence at the line of scrimmage. And this is a very, very small detail. But his ability to manipulate the defense with cadence, to get them moving a little too early, to get clues from them about what's going to happen. You know, when he talks about the reason he wants Caleb Williams to be good at cadence, that's the reason why. And you can understand a coach in his, you know, getting ready for his third game with a new quarterback to him. You can understand if Ben Johnson's a little envious of a team that has that sort of veteran wile you know, to use to their advantage. And it's not just that. They've got two really good receivers. They have a pretty decent tight end. They've got weapons that, that I think can score a lot of points against the Bears and probably will. Jalen Johnson's gone for a long time, maybe for the rest of the year. Tyreek Stevenson, I believe, has given up a perfect passer rating this season, which last I checked was not good. Nashawn Wright has the pick six, but also has been inconsistent.
Penalties.
You've got Kyler Gordon, who's still hurt with a hamstring. How in the heck are the Bears expected to stop George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb with that group of guys?
It's crazy that they're at that position, that they're in that situation, because you would have said this is their best built part of their roster.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're sitting there saying, man, do they have anybody they can count on? Jalen Johnson talked Monday on the radio about on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score, saying to the sounding a lot like someone who's very likely out for the year. He's definitely not playing this week. And you would say, okay, quick fix here is probably Kyler Gordon plays on the outside, which he has done and done fine in his career, and he is your second best corner. But Kyler Gordon didn't practice Wednesday.
Right.
So there's, you can't plan on that, and you can't count on Tyreek right now, as you mentioned, which has been hit and miss throughout his time with the Bears. So, yeah, now what? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the answer is to that other than that Dallas is probably going to score a lot of points. I think the Bears will score a lot of points because Dallas' defense is bad, and we just saw the Bears give up 52 to the Lions. I don't think they're giving up 52 again, but I think both defenses are going to be, you know, ripe for scoring on.
I think they need to rush the passer, and the fact
with who, Pat?
Well, I mean that's the question. You have Montez Sweat, who's got 5.5 sacks since the first game of last year. You've got Dio Odengo, who didn't look the part during training camp, had a pretty good first game, maybe a really good first game, and then hasn't been able to turn it on. The Bears have 3 sacks this year, Jason, and I believe 2 of them came from interior defensive linemen. That is not a pass rush worth writing home about, and it makes you wonder, you know, does Dennis Allen kind of take a page out of the Matt Eberflus book when Eberflus was the coordinator here and just blitz more than he wants to, just because what else are you going
to
do?
You have to, and I think you saw some of that in Detroit, but it didn't even work. I mean, I don't know if I've ever, maybe once I can think of, picture it in my mind, seeing Jalen Johnson blitz.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe a home game against the Raiders I saw him blitz or something like that. He sent Jalen Johnson on a blitz in Detroit, and it just, this is not a knock on Jalen. It looked unfamiliar to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not something you usually do with him, and it's not something I would think would be really intuitive to do with him. You want him out there,
yeah,
on St. Brown or Pickens or Justin Jefferson or whoever. It must be funny for Matt Eberflus to look at that and say, oh, let's see you try to solve this same problem that I was dealing with at the time. I want to ask you about that defensive line that Ryan Poles has put together and where you stand on that, because we look at things like quarterback, offensive line, and pass rush, and we say that is the heart and soul of any competitive team. You have to put premium resources into those spots. The Bears have put premium resources into their defensive line. You're talking about Montez Sweat, $98 million contract, Grady Jarrett, $43 million contract, Dio Odengbo, $48 million contract, and the other guy is Javon Dexter, a second-round pick. Those are premium resources into the defensive line. That's what everyone wanted Ryan Poles to do and has wanted Ryan Poles to do, and he did, but did he pick the right guys?
Doesn't look that way. I mean, what they liked about Montez Sweat when he was available in the middle of the 2023 season was that he was a good pass rusher, but who was also a willing run block or run defender.
Run stopper, yeah.
Somebody who could set the edge, which is super important in Matt Eberflus's defense. Somebody who had the size, quite frankly, that you need in Dennis Allen's defense, too. So physically, I think he's exactly what you want. But, boy, you need better production out of him. And, you know, Ben Johnson was saying, I think it was Monday, that, you know, he's getting single coverage, for lack of a better word. He's having one guy block him sometimes, and he's not winning. Like, you need to win those moments when you're not being doubled or tripled.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely not. Now, what else do they have? I mean, the problem, and you and I have talked about this, the problem with going so offense heavy in the draft in the last 2 years, at least in the high levels of the draft, is that, you know, you look around that defense, who's going to improve? Like who's got upside there? I mean, we have Shamar Turner, who hasn't played a game.
Unsuitable to play. Not hurt, but nope. Didn't dress.
Yeah, unsuitable to be a backup. You know, you don't have, I mean, what, Austin Booker's hurt? Like, you know, who on that roster do you think could pop in a way that we haven't seen yet? And there are not a lot of guys. I mean, Kevin Byard's been doing this for more than a decade. You know what you're going to get out of him, and that's a good thing. But, you know, Jaquan Brisker is kind of who he is at this point.
It's, Kyler Gordon, same thing. Yeah. I mean, you know what, those players are established at this point. And Kyler Gordon's very good, but and will probably get incrementally better over the next 2 years maybe, but it's not the sky-high ceiling from where he's at now.
You want to talk about Tom Brady real quick?
Yeah, this is interesting. Let's not assume everybody knows about all of this. Can you kind of paint a picture for someone that would have no idea what you're talking about when you say minority owner or production meeting?
Yeah. Tom Brady owns part of the Raiders, mm-hmm. and he has for, 2 years now? And that was made abundantly clear on Monday Night Football when cameras caught Brady walking into the Raiders coaching box, putting on a headset, and being part of their team.
We all thought that was happening.
Yes.
Now we've seen it.
By the way, and that is legal. There's nothing wrong with that.
Anybody could do that. But George McCaskey could do that, and it would be a non-issue. Right.
But the image of that broadcast on Monday Night Football, I think, rubs some people the wrong way and reminded people that when he calls games as the lead color analyst at Fox, that he's affiliated, man. Like, he's part of a team.
He has a team, yeah.
And whether he can put that behind him and still be – you know, still do his job well is a different question. I don't think anybody thinks that Tom Brady is one of the better color analysts in the league, but boy, he's a star, and I'm sure Fox is thrilled to have him on their roster. So the NFL has said, this is cool, and here are some of the guidelines we will set up when you are doing pregame interviews with the teams that you're about to cover. You can do pre-production meetings. You got to do them via Zoom. You can't go hang out in the building.
And in those interviews, in those meetings with, let's say, head coach, defensive coordinator, quarterback, safety, whatever, those crews are getting privileged information. Mm-hmm. They're getting things that the coach is not saying at the microphone for everyone to hear. And there's kind of an understanding of, hey, don't air this out necessarily to the public, but we want you to know on background so you understand what you're watching.
Yes, because your network has paid billions of dollars to broadcast our games. So Brady is here at least virtually this week and will do pre-production meetings with Ben Johnson and presumably with Caleb Williams. And the twist, Jason, is that the Bears play the Raiders next week. This isn't a, you know, 2 months down the line, you know, he'll have a decent little scouting report on the Bears. This is, he will have intimate knowledge, should the Bears let him, of what they're doing that he could then turn around and pass on to the Raiders. And there's no question in my mind that he would. Because in addition to being one of the great quarterbacks of all time, he's also one of the most competitive SOBs in the world.
Imagine if Pete Carroll wanted to have some Zoom calls with Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen and Caleb Williams this week. Just, you know, kind of talk shop with them. Right. Nobody would say that's okay.
Yeah, so I asked Ben Johnson about it today, and he kind of said, you know, I'm always in coach speak and those things anyway. Don't worry, I'm not going to give away any state secrets. And somebody circled back later, and he said, yeah, it's not like I'm going to sit there and go, do you know how to stop Caleb Williams? Here's exactly how to do it.
Here's what we hope people don't do.
But this is the last thing the Bears really have to worry about. Like, they've got their own problems. But I still don't think this is particularly fair or particularly good for them that Brady is going to call this game and probably take that information back to the team that he partially owns.
The NFL has been trying to convince everyone that they're fine with it.
Right.
They want us all to think this is not a big deal, this is fine. Brady's trying to protect a $375 million contract.
Yeah.
So I get
with Fox.
I get why he's all about, like, let's massage this, let's make this conflict of interest work, because I got, you know, trending toward $500 million on the line for it.
Right.
The league, when this footage is part of the Monday Night Football broadcast this week, Patrick, the league tweets out the clip with the message written, Tom Brady works closely with Chip Kelly or something like that, and a hand clapping emoji, as if to say, like, we're all fine with this. This is all cool. Like, this is awesome. Look at what he's doing. Then they delete the tweet because they realize not everyone feels that way. In fact, most people don't feel that way.
Do you think, I mean...
From a guy, by the way, one more point, who has famously flouted the rules in the NFL.
If you were Ben Johnson, would you just sit there and give yes or no answers politely in the meeting? Or are there some things that you would be comfortable saying? You know, he said today, listen, this guy's Tom Brady. Like, he can watch film. Like, he knows what the film shows. But, you know, if you were Ben, would you keep it that surface level? Because I'll tell you one thing. He's not very good at keeping it surface level with us. God bless him.
He lets it fly.
He lets it fly more than other coaches we've had here.
I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to do like Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined or something like that. Or both teams played hard. What are the other good ones? I am not going to be real friendly and forthcoming with anything, though, with the Fox crew. If I'm any team, whether I'm playing them or not, I'm not giving much. I'm not giving anything I really care about to the Fox crew, because even if Tom Brady's not there, things can be relayed to Tom Brady by the crew. That's what they had in his first year.
I just think it's...
It's not right.
This is just an unnecessary complication. And like I said, everybody's bending over backwards to... So what? America can listen to a guy who's worse at his job than Greg Olsen was?
He has to pick one or the other.
Right.
But the league's saying no, and Tom Brady doesn't want to pick one or the other because one of them is paying him $37.5 million a year.
Yeah, well, and you know the one that's on Fox, too, gives him... not that anybody in the NFL doesn't know who he is, but I'm sure having Brady on your TV every Sunday is good for free agent recruiting, whether he's active in it or not. I'm sure it's good for selling your franchise as something other than the sad sack Raiders that they've been for 40 years. I mean, they do work hand in hand, even if the league doesn't want to talk about it. There was an instance last January that was similar here in which the Raiders had interviewed Ben Johnson and so had the Bears. And then Tom Brady was set to call Ben's playoff game and had, you know, got a chance to meet with Ben.
So he's calling the game while trying to hire him.
While trying to hire him. And, you know, the NFL came out and said, you know, there are tampering rules and we will hold everybody to those tampering rules. And I think everybody in the league kind of rolled their eyes. As it turned out, Ben had started his Bears interview a week earlier by saying, this is the only job I want. So... maybe the Bears didn't have anything to worry about, but it certainly complicated matters. And then Ben went out and they lost the playoff game, and the Bears were off to the races. But
Bears moved quickly after that.
He did say, I do have a good relationship with Tom. I don't know what that means other than I'm sure they're polite to each other.
They seem similar to me. I've thought that all along with Ben Johnson. They kind of look and sound like each other. Like, I think they have similar personality makeups. It's not surprising that those two would click.
What do you think is going to happen? We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but short of there being a lot of scoring, Jason, what's kind of the path you see both of these teams taking this week?
For the Bears, for the Cowboys, I would try to do what the Lions did.
You're right.
Which is basically everything, but I would try to take advantage of a secondary that I can't count on. And really for the Bears, I'd do the same thing. I think this could be a shootout through the air going both ways. Dallas has not been good against the pass.
Rome Odunze, one of three guys in the league with three touchdowns. That is first in the NFL. I think he's ninth in receiving yards. Do you think we're seeing somebody emerge as one of the league's real talents, or is this just it's early and come back to me in a month?
Caleb Williams is far from a finished product, or we can't say, oh, Ben Johnson got him, you know, now he's arrived. But would you agree that the previous coaching staff held Caleb Williams back?
Probably so, yeah.
Would you also agree that the previous coaching staff held Rome Odunze back?
Probably so.
I think Rome Odunze would tell you most of the same things that Caleb has indicated, whether it's in the Wickersham book or, you know, things if you're reading between the lines on answers he's giving or things like that. Rome Odunze, I talked to him back in July, I think it was, at the start of training camp, and he was making the point that it is so difficult to make it in the NFL at all. Mm-hmm. And make that jump from college to the pros. It's a lot harder when you don't have clarity, you don't have definitive feedback on whether you're doing it right. So you think you're doing it right, and nobody tells you otherwise, so you just keep doing it, right. And then you're like, well, why aren't I getting results?
Right.
I think that Rome Odunze has benefited almost as much, probably, from the new coaching staff as Caleb Williams.
Who do you think wins?
I think Dallas wins. I think that they're just better positioned, even though they're going on the road and they look shaky. I think they're better positioned if it's a shootout. I think they're better positioned to win that game.
What do you got?
I got them 34-29.
I think I'm going to go Bears 38-37, just because that seems like a weird score.
I hope you're right, because it'll be fun. That sounds like a fun game.
I mean, given the mood around here always gets dark quickly when things go badly, but a win that's fun, I think, would make Halas Hall a very different place next Monday than it was this Monday.
Yeah.
Jason, that'll do it for here. People can follow you and I on social media all week. Check us out on the Sun-Times website and in print if you live in town. We will be back Sunday night, Jason, to talk about that presumably high-scoring Cowboys-Bears game. Until then, he's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.